Sun headlines.
Celtics beat the Grizzlies at the Garden last night, 109-98. Kyrie Irving led the team in scoring with 25 points in 25 minutes. Seas host the Hornets tomorrow night, but here was Kyrie Irving on the team's execution against Memphis.
Staying the course, making sure that we were just making the right plays, offensively and defensively. They were playing pretty aggressively, so we wanted to use that against them a little bit. And just play our game.
The Bruins host the Hurricanes tonight. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30. Off the ice, Bees added forward Tommy Wingles from the Blackhawks moments before the trade deadline yesterday. Deal of the day came from the Lightning as they dealt for defenseman Ryan McDonough and forward JT Miller from the Rangers. In Patriots news, Tom Curran reported on Boston Sports Tonight last night that Rob Gronkowski didn't enjoy himself this past season. Curran said that the atmosphere is physically and mentally starting to wear on Gronk. Curran also said that Gronk contemplated stepping away from the game in training camp. Other NFL news, the league is demanding reimbursement in excess of $2 million from Jerry Jones for court costs related to star running back Ezekiel Elliott's suspension. Ian Rappaport reporting that Teddy Bridgewater is expected to be a free agent, and the Bills reached an agreement on a one-year deal with cornerback Vontae Davis. Finally, Red Sox play the Cardinals at Fort Myers today. 1 o'clock first pitch. Headlines are brought to you by Schultz Law. Attorney Mark Schultz has been protecting the rights of riders for over 20 years. 857-300-5300 or SchultzLaw.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Looks headlines coming up at 11:30.
Touchdown, 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 touchdown. Patriots, Patriots, Patriots.
The home of the Pats.
Bang, bang, just like that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shaughnessy, welcome back. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, that seems so fake. What's with that?
No, I love this song. It reminds me of George W. Bush. It was a book title, Fortunate Son.
You know, we're going to get to the Red Sox. We're going to get to the Red Sox and what you did
at spring
training.
Let's go down that road.
I don't want to go down that road right now. Nope, I'm going to stay
away
from
that. What road? The Red Sox road?
No, the political one.
Oh, no, we never want to go down there.
No, we don't want to go down that road.
But anything we say could be used in another station, on another outlet. I'm always mindful now. It's like talking to multiple stations at one time. It's like,
you got two audiences at once. It's awesome.
Honest to God, it's the funniest thing.
Your thoughts, we've been talking this morning about Rob Gronkowski. What are your thoughts on the possibility of him giving it up and him saying, I'm done?
Beetle, you're not going to like this.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to be dismissive of this. I'm going to say, there's no bloody way. This is as remote as the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. It can't possibly happen. You know, I mean, it's just like there's no chance that this guy does this. So it's. I understand it's entertainment, something to talk about, and you know, I know he's sending out all these thinly veiled things, but no, he loves football. He wants to win another Super Bowl, and if he can jack up the price, all the better. It makes sense on paper. You know, you can make almost as much money or be as famous and be that guy and not have to go through all this with your body. I just don't think this guy is there yet. I think he still wants to score touchdowns, throw people out of the club, and be that guy.
Okay, so everything that he's saying and the veiled tweets and the ambiguity and everything that he's throwing out there is just a means to, what, have fun, to try and up his payday?
Yeah, get more money out of the Patriots and mess with us. And I think both things will work. Why not? But he's going to play next year. We'll be sitting here, you know, talking about going to Buffalo in September, and Gronk will be going back home. It'll be the same old thing.
Even if he was unhappy from the start of training camp last year, as Tommy Curran said, he was unhappy from the start of camp. He was not happy with the way he had to train last year. He said that the what was it? That the atmosphere in New England was not a healthy one.
I love that. Now the players are starting to feel like we do up there, you know, down there. It's like, you know,
and
who wants to be around this sour feeling?
And that there needs to be a clearing of the air
of the air
in order for him to return in all things to you know, kind of go on as scheduled in 2018.
I believe some of that, and I think you guys were on it in a good way in the last hour when you talked about the Guerrero thing and, you know, not wanting to do the squats and the fact that he got in the middle of that thing. I don't think anybody wants to be there in the middle of the Tom, Bill, owner thing that's going on and with Alex. So, sure, I can understand that's not a happy thing for him. I still think he just loves football and he wants to be in the middle of it.
And that will...
Yeah,
be above all else.
Overrule. Yeah,
that will overrule
that.
Any
he's
other
too young.
Feelings that he's got.
I mean, I'm not saying more
this,
than, you know.
I felt the same way when this thing first started.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to play.
Sure.
Of course he's going to play. The more stuff that he puts out there, and if it's his camp and they're all doing this and they've got, you know, they're just scheming and they've got, you know, everything charted out, it's like, we're going to wait 2 more days and then we're going to send out another, you know, weird tweet. And we're just going to... If that's it, if there's a master plan in place, then yeah, they're playing it perfectly. I find it difficult to believe that there's a master plan in place. I think he's actually on the fence.
Well, something you said there, I'm curious about what you guys think, being young social media types. I mean, is this actually him or is this his agent? Is someone sending this stuff out there for
him? The misspelling would indicate that it's him.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, he feels like a guy who does his own tweeting.
Yeah, because, you know, I talked to Dustin Pedroia about the whole Zoe made-up thing down there, and I called Zoe and told him. He's not even aware of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I do. He's not even on Twitter. Is he on Twitter?
No, he gave up his account.
Right.
A day after everyone was blasting him on Twitter over something.
He's not aware of it. No, unaware of it. These guys don't know.
I don't buy it.
Not aware of it.
I don't think Dustin Pedroia tweets.
I don't buy it.
He doesn't.
He doesn't want to cop to it. He doesn't want to admit it.
No, that'd be...
He wouldn't want to admit it.
You're trying too hard. You're really stretching it. No.
Oh, I'm trying too hard.
Yeah.
Because he blocks a bunch of people and then deletes his account, and then he doesn't want to admit that the people got to him on there?
The agent probably saw something and just didn't like it and said, oh, we don't need to see this. That was that. I mean, again, I don't
And that's
know.
Why the agent closed the account? The agent who is trying to, you know, continue to promote the endorsement deals that Dustin Pedroia is involved in and... used as an outlet to, you know, promote charity items or promotional items, or the agent thought it was a good idea to shut it down?
I guess. I don't know. I just talked to him briefly about it, and he was he was like myself, un-Twitter savvy, unaware.
You do your own tweets.
I believe him.
You tweet.
I do now. They're real and they're spectacular.
Do you think Dan Shaughnessy operates at the same level as Dustin Pedroia? Do you think of them as one and the same?
Yes. Yes, they're about the same.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
617.
Last year, I tweeted out a picture of his car. He had that in that vehicle. Looks like he could invade Poland in the thing. Have you seen the thing?
It's one of his Jeeps?
It's like it's a Hummer hybrid. Ridiculous, like two of them in the world or something. It's got a name.
No, I think Pedroia had one of the Jeeps.
The Wildcat or something. No, it's got a very specific name. And really, it looks like an armored vehicle. It's like the stupid thing Price was driving around down in Pawtucket last year. This is worse, though. And I took a picture of it in spring training, and I tweeted it out. And, he was hilarious about it. He started walking around, like, holding out his wallet. So, you want to take a picture of my credit card, Stu? Send that out there?
It's the custom Bandit Jeep?
The Bandit. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. The Bandit.
Jeep, right?
Yeah.
Totally, I thought it was
Chrysler Jeep Dodge, right?
But there's very few of these Bandits. That's it, Tony, right there. That's my picture. Hardy, for those of you on the simulcast, Hardy, go down one more there. That's my picture. I took
the simulcast. We have simulcast.
See, that's my
now?
Tweet right there.
What's simulcast?
I was saying that because it's never good radio when you're talking about, hey, Hardy, look at that there.
Oh, we do it on the show all the time.
Okay,
it's fine.
Right. Well, anyway.
We all gather around a computer
moment,
screen and look at it.
For the
live
listening
on the
audience, Hardy has a picture of my tweet.
Do you use a filter on that, Dan?
I don't know. And of course not. I don't even know what that is.
Let's get a couple more of these Gronk calls in before we talk to Dan about what happened down in Florida. What do you got, Kevin?
So, hey, what's going on, guys? Do you guys think if Gronk goes and does a year in the WWE, and then with the XFL coming around, you know, say he does miss football, and then McMahon kind of pushes the whole agenda of, like, him being the face of the XFL to make a lot more money, do you think that's a route Rob would take, just given, like, the personality that he has and the way that he is?
Sure. Why not? He endorsed a Bluetooth football. Anything's possible. He was on board with that, doing infomercials for it. Yep. Why not?
Okay, I just want to let you know the XFL is still not until 2020. It's more than 2 years away. So that would mean he wouldn't play football for more than 2 calendar years before he then would suit up in the XFL.
Yeah.
So.
Could.
If it's as a player, that's what it would take. If it's as a consultant, I could totally see it. As a guy who's involved in the league, plays a character in the league, is the commissioner. You know, I've heard all these things thrown out there. Yeah, I could see him having involvement. I mean, it's not going to be a bad thing. I mean, isn't that what it is?
Yes.
I mean, it's not going to be a bad thing.
I can't.
To have football guys involved in the forming of the league, right? It's not going to be a bad thing if you've got Rob Gronkowski on your staff advising you on football-related things for how you want to shape your league. It's not a bad idea.
Have you guys seen Gronk's stand-up routine?
I've heard it's really bad.
I was scrolling on TV last week. You know, you're in Fort Myers. There's nothing to do. You know, so I'm just doing the thing on the TV, just going from station to station, just running around. I can't find anything. And then there he is. And he's, like, setting up comedy night at some place. I don't know how old it was. It didn't seem that old. And, Beetle, the review is correct that you have. And it was also extremely, you know, X-rated.
Blue? Was he working blue?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I was just surprised. I mean, again, my virgin ears were, like, turning scalding red. I'm like, the Patriots allow a guy to get up there and say this stuff? It was weird. Yeah, it was weird.
It's very selfish, man. I like watching Rob Gronkowski play football. I'm not interested in seeing him wrestle. I'm not interested in seeing him act. I'm not interested in seeing him as a character in the XFL.
I blurbed one of his books. You don't even know. No one even knows that. My name is on the cover of the book.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What was the book?
It says, you know, greatest book I've ever read, Dan Shaughnessy, whatever like that. I don't know what it says. But it was the Growing Up Gronk. It was with Houghton Mifflin, and it was the family, the five boys and the dad. I don't know whether the dad did it or the boys or what, but my publisher asked me to blurb it. So, of course, you just say yes, and you say, yeah, great. I better check and see what's in there.
Did you read it?
Well, I thumbed through it.
How was it?
It was like
the greatest book you ever read?
It was like the stand-up without the blue stuff.
It was like To Kill a Mockingbird.
No, I'm fascinated by the big brothers. I mean, all those guys. What a thing.
Yeah.
Those five guys.
Yeah.
Baseball guy.
Yeah.
One of them was, who's the infielder, Murphy? One of them batted fourth with Murphy batting third in a school in Florida. Gronk and Murphy, back to back.
Do you get paid anything to do those blurbs?
You do not. You just do it as a courtesy.
Everybody does to the publisher.
Yeah. I was...
Dan, he's tied in all the publishers. He's got multiple books.
Do you have time for this? Do you have a little
Hang on to it. Hang on to it.
Well, can he do it on the other side?
Yes, you can do it on the other side.
You'll like it.
We're going to mix in some Red Sox as well with Dan Shaughnessy. We'll continue talking Rob Gronkowski today as well, so don't go anywhere.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello? Go ahead.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Dan, what's the story you want to tell us? You said you have a minute. Now we have a minute.
Yeah, it's your basic book blurbing story, which, I mean, people, it's a favor, you know, I beg Mitch Albom to blurb a book, you know, and he's nice about it. He doesn't really do it. You know, I've had David Halberstam, George Will, just, you know, guys. Yeah, it's a nice thing to do. It's a courtesy thing. Stephen King has blurbed some of my books. Doris Kearns, who I know you love, you know, just people are nice.
Doris Kearns, good one. Lyrical little bandbox, that is Fenway Park.
You want famous people to make it look like you've got some substance to your own work there. So I'm out with a bunch of friends. Stan Grossfeld, your best friend over there. We're out at my Chinese restaurant, Rice Valley in Newtonville. And this is like 15 years ago, maybe more.
Dan walks in and owns the place.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, like Goodfellas, you know, the kitchen. So we're out there and, you know, we're having a few Mai Tais, whatever. And Larry King comes on the corner TV in the bar area. And everybody just starts, you know, the usual reaction. What a hack. What a ridiculous, you know, whatever. You know, he should have retired 20 years ago. The whole thing is, you know, back and forth. It was just crushing Larry King, you know. So we get home and we're back watching the Celtics or something in front of the TV. And one of my friends notices there's a book jacket from The Curse of the Bambino, which says, you know, greatest Red Sox book ever, Larry King, on the cover of the book. It's like, oh, now he's not so bad, I guess. So, yeah, it was just, you know, in a storm, you know, you just, anybody who can help you out, it's a nice thing to do. So I blurbed Gronk's
Growing Up Gronk. So when you blurb, people, do they actually read the book?
I don't know. You try to. It's good to scan through it.
So the blurbs are bull crap on those books, which is the assumption I've made forever.
KKK manual.
I mean, who has time to read the whole thing? I'll go through. I remember somebody.
I hope this bites somebody at some point where they endorse
it. Has.
Oh, terrific book. And then you're like, wow, this guy endorsed what's in this book.
Right, right.
This is a manifesto.
No. There was one guy who was just trying to help the guy out, and his beginning was good. The first couple of pages was great. And I wrote, this guy had me at hello. The first couple of pages were great, and I just left it at that. And they were, but I didn't read the rest of the book, so it's okay.
So the blurbs.
But you do need to check to make sure there's nothing in there, some vile content you don't want to sign your name onto.
Garbage. The blurbs.
You'll see them everywhere.
What was your biggest takeaway from your time in Fort Myers, Dan?
Oh boy.
When did you get back? By the way,
Sunday.
So you were there through Sunday, through all the drama. With J.D. Martinez, and then you left town before the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I did not need to see him. I mean, we were so bored by it by the time he brought him out on Monday, nobody wanted to see
him. But you missed so much.
Yeah.
He had a lot to say.
He was electric.
Yeah. So, I reconnected with David Price. I thought that was a moment. I'm giving him a chance because I believe in his talent. I think he's going to have a good year. And I thought he behaved much better this year, and he wasn't walking around like he was the leader of the team, and he wasn't just misbehaving. And I thought he was a little bit contrite about last year when he lost his mind. So that was a seismic point. I thought that, Beadle, it's a 93-win team, that the whole team's back, and have added 45 bombs in the middle of the lineup. And people like Price, eventually, Hanley and Pedroia, are healthier. So I'm bullish on them. I know it sounds like it's because John Henry owns the Red Sox, and I just want to say good things, but I'm not.
You're not bullish on much of anything. So
no,
when you
I
say
just,
you are,
you know, and I think it's
means you're
you know,
being
I know
genuine.
Everybody's bored and people hate baseball, and I get all the stuff, and they're gonna scuffle to get the market because the Bruins and Celtics are gonna play deep into the playoffs, and so the Sox are gonna be laying in the weeds till June. But I think when they do emerge, they might be in a good position. I think the Yankee thing's gonna be good, and even if Carson Smith and Thornburg, who isn't tired of hearing about these bums who've never pitched and have these arms, they bring them in. But, I mean, there is a notion that they will eventually contribute, and maybe this is the time.
Okay.
So all signs, Kimbrel's in his walk year, that's a good sign. I just think, on paper, I do. I like them.
No, you list a lot of things that if they all come together, right? If they all go right, I mean, unlikely, but if every single one of those question marks turns out to be a positive for the Red Sox, they could be really good.
Yeah, because, Beadle, to go the other way, they won 93 last year. Suppressed years from Bogarts, Betts a little bit, Pedroia, Hanley, Price, Thornburg and Smith didn't exist. And now you've added all those guys are healthier or better, allegedly, and a 45 home run guy in the middle.
Yes.
Okay, you mentioned, though, the Yankees thing and how that could be good. So,
yeah.
And how this ties into David Price and his contrition. Did that rub you the wrong way at all when he was asked about the Yankees rivalry? Do you think it's, oh, yeah, you guys won it, so it's back. We hate it. I mean, and I think watching it, it came off a little better.
Yeah.
I heard Felger Maz say this at first, and then, because I'd only heard it. So I watched it, and he does come off a little better when you watch him because he's smiling when he says it. But the fact that he is still either unwilling or incapable of giving an answer, at least like, I can see how people would want that, but we're really just focused in on winning games. It's not about a rivalry. You say he's contrite, but then he acts, even if it's just mildly, there's a little bit of jackass in him still when he does stuff like that.
I'd sign on to that. I'd go along with that. I think he's incapable of the other. It's just not a normal, natural exchange. But again, I do have high hopes for them. I do think the Yankee thing is going to be great. And they should be roared out of the gate.
Why can't he just say that, then?
Yeah, it's just
Why does he have to be a dink about it?
Some guys, well, there's been guys. He's just one of those guys,
Because I think it's going to be great, too. I mean, how much better is it for the season and for the Red Sox and for the Yankees to have them both be good and be, hopefully battling for the top spot in the division
hopefully,
at the end of the season?
And the Red Sox have better pitching than they do. They do. Again, on paper. Everything's on paper. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a good year for them. And the manager, the change of the manager, I know in this room, Zoe's not here today, but that's a breath of fresh air for all of you guys, that you're not going to have impacting the ground and the ball and those kinds of things. Guys are going to be all
no,
in
and
on
he's
that.
Been good.
Yes.
I mean, when he talks, he says things.
Great piece by Stan Grossfeld today in the Boston Globe with pictures and spending a day with Alice Cora, first day in the job. And he already got heckled. They had to kick a guy out on Saturday. Yeah.
For what?
Guy came down right by the rail and was just laying into him, and they...
Cora?
The guy was ejected. Yes.
About
yes.
what?
Yes.
What? About what?
I think...
just rattling off all the names.
it was late in the game, so maybe there was some beer involved. I don't know. But the guy was escorted out of there. It was like, if you don't do this, we're going to be all over you. And he was right down in his face by the rail.
At yeah. spring training in
yes,
Fort Myers.
Yes.
Wow, Red Sox fans was, still have edge, don't they?
It was the Twins game. It was the first game. It wasn't the college game, thank God, but it was the next day.
I didn't know Marshall Hook was in Fort Myers.
No, it's I know Pete Abraham had a note about it on Sunday, and I think it's in the In the Stands piece today. The guy was escorted out of there.
Unreal.
I know. Yeah, good lively
all
time.
All the guys to
Myers.
Heckle. Go down there and lay into the guy who's been
right.
here for 20 minutes.
Like, what is he? I mean, he hasn't had time to do anything wrong yet.
Right. Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, he hasn't even been allowed to screw up.
Yep.
Wow. 617-779-0985. We're mixing in the Red Sox as we go along as well. We're going to get to more in the signing of J.D. Martinez. Troy is in Dorchester. Hi, Troy.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, Troy.
So, I wanted to call about the Gronk situation. I'm wondering if you guys think the Patriots will just finally just give in and let him train the way he's going to want to train. He's a Hall of Fame tight end. He's the best tight end in the league, the best pass catcher in the league, I think. Do you think they'll finally just bend? Bill's getting old and just say, all right, fine. You train the way you want to train. You come on back the next season. We're not going to give you all that much more money, but you can at least train the way you want to train and be comfortable. Do you think that at least reach some type of compromise like that with him to keep him around?
Maybe. I mean, I don't think he was ever told he couldn't do the training the way that he wanted to outside of the facility. I don't think his demands are what's going to determine whether or not he comes back. It's how he feels and whether or not he wants to put himself through another season. I don't think the training, it might be an annoyance. He might be aggravated by how it played out, but that's not going to determine whether or not he comes back. That's less of a factor than his desire to want to do it for another calendar year. Paulie's in the truck. You worried about Gronk retiring, Paulie?
No, not at all. I'm with Danny 100% have been since the outset. I'm telling you guys since the start of this thing that he's just pissed off that they lost. If they had won, it'd be a whole different thing. But he talks about after the game, all that work that they put in and all that, to fall prey to the coach not putting the best team on the defensive side of the ball on the field, giving them a chance to win. Everybody knows that. He should have squeezed every last drop of juice out of those two linemen's, Butler and Branch, that he could have. There was no push in the pocket. Branch should have been back in the Jets game. He should have got the whip out on him and drove him right to the end. And Butler should have been on the field playing that game. There's at least two guys. There's two.
Okay, we're back to Butler. We're not talking about Butler today. Paulie thinks there's no way Gronk gives it up because Gronk is Gronk.
That's what Dan thinks.
What a lot of people think. And I think that is still a big factor in this as well. I'm still going to be absolutely shocked if he says this is it and I'm done.
I'll be shocked.
I think he's got at least one more in him.
But where I didn't think it was a possibility before, enough stuff has trickled in the last part from Tommy Curran. And the audio we listened to earlier about him saying how unhappy he was from the start of training camp last year, all through the season. The atmosphere is bad. There needs to be a clearing of the air. It's just one more thing that makes me think, okay, it's a possibility.
Shocked is not the right word. I'll be very surprised. There's a difference there.
There is.
Yeah. I think it's better than 50% that he makes.
I would have been shocked before, and now I'd just be surprised.
Yeah. Shocked is too strong a word. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, 617-779-0985. Want to get his thoughts on the contract that J.D. Martinez signed with the Red Sox. We'll get that into the conversation coming up after these headlines with Nick Cattles.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics beat the Grizzlies at the Garden last night, 109-98. Celtics have won three in a row since the All-Star break. Kyrie Irving scored 25 points in 25 minutes. C's still a half game behind the Raptors in the East. The Celtics will host the Hornets tomorrow night. Bruins back on the ice at the Garden tonight playing the Hurricanes. Patrice Bergeron is not skating this morning. Brian Gionta is skating. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30. Patriots news. Tom Kern reported on NBC Sports Boston last night that Rob Gronkowski did not enjoy himself this past season. Curran said last night on Boston Sports Tonight that the atmosphere is physically and mentally starting to wear on Gronk. Curran also said Gronk contemplated stepping away from the game in training camp. Finally, Red Sox beat the Pirates yesterday 13-2. They play the Cardinals in Fort Myers today. 1 o'clock, first pitch. Headlines are brought
to you
by...
Hey, one thing, Nick, before you get to the sponsor. This just dropped in the middle of your headlines. The Bruins just put out a statement. Don Sweeney announcing that Patrice Bergeron will be out for at least 2 weeks. He has a fracture in his right foot. He did play after suffering that. Fracture in his right foot that will keep him out for 2 weeks at a minimum. He will be reevaluated at that time.
Why can't he play now? He already played one game with him. Keep playing.
So he's out 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks. Headlines brought to you by Cardi's Furniture. I'm Nick Adelsick. Headlines coming up at noon.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Pete, I found that thing for you.
Oh, you did?
So today, Boston
Please
Globe,
read it.
Stan Grossfeld, it's at the end of this, you know, wonderful piece about Alex's first day on the job, which was the Twins game on Friday. And, they, you know, they get to the park at 5:30 in the morning, and there's all these pictures of Alex in the dark and, you know, working out and meeting with players and the whole thing. So now it's like the, it's the eighth inning. So, but after the playing of Sweet Caroline during the middle of the eighth inning, a loud and obnoxious white-haired man with a beer belly descends upon the first row of seats near the dugout. "Hey, Alex, you got the team now. You bleepin' better win," he bellows. "No bleep, or we'll run you out of town on a rail." Cora ignores the blowhard, who was
That's
later.
All he said?
Well, I don't know what else he might have said to get ejected, but he was escorted from the premises.
He speaks the truth.
Yeah, why not?
Better win, Cora!
Out of town on a rail, though, that's old school.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
that's
an older fellow.
Yeah,
white
haired guy.
An older fellow.
Well,
yeah,
your
that.
Hecklers in Florida are not going to be.
Yeah, I mean,
we're
going to
send you on down the Tuscaloosa line. See? What?
Excuse me. What?
What?
You could do that.
Yeah,
in your old timey voice.
Yeah. I could do the whole exchange.
Old timey heckling.
I'm here to give you what for. See? What? You're here to what? Excuse me?
No more tomfoolery.
No more shenanigans. No more ballyhoo. Wait, that's Good Will Hunting. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm
getting them mixed up.
It so, works.
Yeah, it's no worse than what the guy said to Justin Thomas at the PGA event on Sunday. We talked about that yesterday. The guy kept yelling for his ball to get in the bunker, and he had him thrown out. At least Cora didn't have this guy thrown out. Cora said afterward, he's like, "I'm fine with it. I can take anything that comes my way." I don't think he knew the guy got thrown out. Spring training. Heckling the new manager at spring training.
That's only something you experience in Boston. So, really. I mean, it really is. That's only something you get here. So he's
You really screwed up when you were assisting in that World Baseball Classic.
He's got a new bat in his lineup. JD Martinez signs a contract yesterday, Dan. And when you look at this contract, it's got three opt-outs in it.
God.
The only year, the only offseason during the course of the deal that does not include an opt-out is the first one.
This one.
Is this so a year from now, after this season is complete, he will not have an opportunity to opt out. But every other year, he'll have a chance to leave.
Yes.
Does that strike you as a guy who really wants to be a member of the Red Sox and was really excited about signing a five-year contract?
I don't know. I mean, how many Red Sox options are in there? Because they have protection against injuries, right? Where they're not going to have a Sandoval thing.
Yes.
Where they're going to end up paying when he misses 120 games or something like that.
But if you were following the detailed reporting, and you may have some reporting of your own.
It made my head explode. I had a hard time following it.
The opt-outs were not initially offered by the Red Sox. They didn't want to give him the opt-outs. Dave Dombrowski held those. As much as I like them, he held those as bargaining chips. He didn't want to give him the opt-outs. Then he gave him one. Then he gave him two. And then when this protection over the injury of the Lisfranc injury, they gave him a third. That was part of like the kickback or the, okay, you give us this and we'll give you another opt-out so that you can opt out pretty much anytime you want.
Yep.
And that just on the surface. It doesn't.
You know, it's Scott.
I think it's in line with everything we've heard about this offseason. There's no other suitors for him. There's no other real contract offers for him. And he was even getting fed up at times with the Red Sox, as it was reported a few weeks back.
That is what you're addressing there. That is Scott Boras showing his next group of clients, hey, I got this. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't get the number he was looking for with J.D. Martinez. He had no market for him. So he was kind of crawling back to Fort Myers with this player. And that's a little bit embarrassing for him. So
because he had nowhere else to go.
He had to show, here's what I got for the guy. And I got all this flexibility, this and that. He can join the market. And the weird part is, I mean, he's not Hanley's guy, but basically, J.D. Martinez is getting Hanley's money. I mean, Hanley's $23 million for next year won't be paid because the at-bats are going to be taken up. And J.D. Martinez.
Unless Hanley hits.
He's not going to get 497 at-bats.
If he forces their hand, Dan. And he forces himself into the lineup over Mitch Moreland, and he's hitting.
He should.
He's hitting both righties
and
lefties.
He should play over Mitch Moreland.
Okay, but I'm saying if he doesn't play well, that's going to give them the reasoning to put Moreland in the lineup.
Right.
If Hanley is
hitting the cover.
You've
got a motivated Hanley.
Right. I think they've set themselves up to get the best version of Hanley.
Absolutely.
Especially coming off the offseason. He had the shoulder surgery. He feels good. He has said that.
And he should be in the lineup ahead of Moreland.
So if he is playing well and he's tearing the cover off the ball, he'll be in the lineup, Dan, and I think he could get it, even with J.D. Martinez in the lineup.
I'm not ruling that out. I agree with all that.
History tells us he's going to hit a slump and they're going to put Moreland in the lineup and he's not going to get it.
And he can be a butcher over there at first base. He won't throw the ball, and we know all
those
things.
Well, I think that's a little
strong. He can catch the ball.
He was surprisingly good when he made that transition to first base.
You think he was pretty nimble?
I wouldn't use the word nimble with him. He's not quite. He's in good shape, so no, I wouldn't use that about him. Nimble is for the big guys, for the big fellas.
He did. He dropped down. He was
like Devers
was,
is. I think we might be able to call him nimble.
Yeah, yeah, he's nimble.
I'm very excited about watching him on a daily basis.
You should be. Yes, and now even though Butter's gone and can't work with him on the defense,
thank God. See you later.
They have his double
worst
A
worst guy ever.
His double A manager. Well, evidently John Henry.
I'm
agrees
not making
with you.
Character assassinations on that guy now just because everyone else is saying he's such a great guy.
John Henry,
I'm saying he must be terrible.
John Henry agrees with you. He blamed the whole season on the staff last year because before they had J.D. Martinez, John said, "Don't you see how different we are this year?" We're like, "No, it's the exact same team." Oh, you haven't looked closely. Dana's the only guy back. Oh. You mean the coaching staff? They're the reasons that you lost to the
Astros? Team of coaches.
Right, right. Really. He threw the whole team, the whole staff of coaches under the bus. They were the reason that they didn't win last year.
Okay. I mean, were they part of the reason why they didn't win?
Butter evidently was.
Can we at least say they were part of the reason?
Chili Davis. Victor Rodriguez.
Okay. The team didn't change, but I'm not going to crush John Henry if he didn't like his staff last year. Nothing wrong with him saying that.
The approach was the reason they didn't win.
Well.
They didn't have enough launch angle.
I'd like that he said, could we run into a few more outs on the base paths? My God.
Oh, my God.
That's not coming to an end. That's coming to an end, Dan.
And they're also going to swing at the first pitch.
Yeah, the foolish outs on the base paths are gone, and they're going to be aggressive at the plate. Oh, it's going to be a great team to watch.
See, Beatles fired up, too.
I'm actually very excited about this team.
I'm
like ready for baseball.
Okay.
Season. I'm ready to go.
Excellent.
I'm buying in on the Red Sox in 2018.
Me, too.
Love it.
Yeah.
This means they're going to be terrible because we're both idiots. I want to ask Dan about a custom, if you will, within the baseball writer community.
Oh, boy. BBWAA bashing coming up?
Not so much the card-carrying member of the BBWAA. I'm just something that goes on in baseball that doesn't happen in any other sport. And we saw it on full display yesterday. And I want to ask you, because you've covered baseball for a very long time, and you'll know what I'm talking about, and that is the small group press conferences after the big press conference. I want to get
trying to figure
we need
out.
To talk about this coming up next.
Yes. Szolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can any of you discuss what the hang-up was the last few days and how that got resolved?
Well, we can... We had, first of all, anytime you do something like this, it's...
Anytime you do something like this, it's blah, 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 blah. I'll give you a real answer after we wrap up the press conference. Dan, this happens in baseball. I don't believe it happens in any other sport. There's a press conference called. All the important people sitting at the front of the room. Manager, GM, player, agent, whoever. And then the best stuff always comes out after the fact. It's especially at the introductory ones, David Price or Alex Cora, or it's always these settings where someone's being introduced. There's the main press conference, and then the best questions, the most direct questions about the injury, about the hang-ups. All of that happened after the fact. And then Boris gives his best answer after the fact, spilling all the different opt-out language. And you've got all these quotes that come on after. Why is that? Why do you guys do this?
Well, Beetle, let's go to the fact that, you know, the beat guys are not there to supply you with programming and you with answers to questions
this
that you're not there to ask.
This isn't about programming. This isn't about programming, Dan. I don't get it. Why even have the press conference? Why is it
well,
that
most
in
the, of the
in
time
the...
with these introductory press conferences or a firing press conference
yes.
or whatever, they are televised or they're broadcast on the radio. So the norm is if you have something that you want to ask, you don't ask it in front of everybody else to give the answer to 98.5 The Sports Hub or to Channel 4 or whatever.
But how about Red Sox fans?
If you have something that you want to ask.
But wait, you guys don't hide it from anybody.
Well, you
put it on Twitter 5 minutes later. It was on Twitter right after the fact.
But then you own it. It's your information. You know, if I've got a question that I'd like to ask, I'd prefer to ask it off to the side, and that would be anybody. I'm not going to like...
Okay, but, and I understand that for a lot of stuff, it's like, I'm going to ask him something that no one else will, but everyone... was going to ask him to be more detailed about the foot. Like, how could you, you know, what more can you tell us about it?
I would
it?
Agree
like,
with that.
Some of the obvious things didn't get addressed. Like, do you think they're going to, you know, did all these guys think they're going to get an exclusive? They're going to get a sneak peek at the X-ray that no one else
right,
is going to get?
You have your own
thing.
Stuff that you think that no one else, again, what you're talking about, the foot, everyone wants to know that. I agree with that. If I'm over the day they introduced Kyrie Irving, I want to ask him about flat earth. I'm not going to ask that in front of everybody. I'm going to try and get him off to the side because, you know, why embarrass the guy or have something that, and you give everybody that answer or non-answer, whatever stupid thing he's going to say, you're better off pulling him to the side and say, hey, not for nothing, but what's with the flat earth thing? And then you have that and no one else has it. It's for exclusivity. Beetle, the reason you're trying to get it is exclusivity. Now, when
I get
it's
that,
the foot
it's
or the contract.
It's the biggest story that's been going on for a week and there's two obvious questions. What changed
the
in the
obvious
contract?
Stuff, I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's
yes,
all.
The obvious stuff.
I'm
no,
talking about what happened.
I would agree with you.
What was the injury? How did the contract change?
Right.
Those are two questions that every single person in the room and every Red Sox
yes.
fan want to know.
I would agree with that. And hopefully those aren't being conducted in the separate ones after whatever. And again, most of the time, they'll break these things down so that radio outlets and television stations can have a one-on-one with the subject. And that's what's going off to the side. Yeah. So you've got somebody over there, and rather than come back with the feed that everybody got, your guy gets a moment, you know, their breakdowns, whatever you want to call it. You do separate sessions.
I find that annoying, too. If we just ask the right questions at the press conferences, everyone
you got a good guy
it.
Over there. You might get something no one has. You know, I mean, that's what isn't that the idea? To do your own work and get something no one has. The idea is not communism.
I get
we're
that.
We're all going to
no,
have the same
no, but
thing.
I get that, but I'm saying this. These are the unique situations of mm-hmm. this has been the story for a week. There,
right.
Everybody wants to know the answer to those two questions, and those two questions will be answered.
I understand
to just
yes.
about everybody.
I agree
and then
with
after
that.
The fact, everyone got the answer. I mean, everyone went over and got the answer, and then. Put it out there.
Well, I don't know why that wasn't asked in the main. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. The information right. wasn't, like, withheld. It was then 5 minutes later tweeted out by everybody who was there.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, what are we doing?
But
why didn't you guys just get it on
you,
the...
If you thought, if you heard he had a hairline fracture in his right
well,
hand...
Yeah, that's different.
You would
yeah, no,
pull
no,
the guy
I'm,
to the side
I'm not
and
talking
say,
about
hey, I don't want anybody else to know this, but just,
ever
what's up
pulling
with this?
A guy to the side. I'm talking about these big press conference settings that... Again, there's two obvious questions that everyone wants to ask,
right.
and everyone will get an answer on eventually.
Well, Beetle, and if you know with Bill Belichick, you know there's going to be no opportunity after this, then you know what? Throw it out there, no matter how bad it is, and everyone's going to get the same thing, and that's just the way it goes. And that's what happens when you have the stooges come down from the television stations that don't do sports and throw out these ridiculous things. But everybody uses the content of the stupid question.
Because my thing is, Dan, right. this is also not those other situations you describe. Because of these press conferences, it's the guy then goes to the side and meets with six people.
Yep.
Like, I've been at Fenway where I've seen that before. Where, you know, Lucchino would step down off the podium, step to the side, and then he meets with seven guys. And I'm like, what's the point of this?
Well, I'm not interested in those. Yeah.
Right, but you know what I'm talking about. That
if I can't get them alone, may as well just do it in the big room.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's why the Patriots have it right. Just do it once so everyone can hear it.
Well, I mean, the NFL, it's like the Pentagon. You know, I mean, that's just the way it works.
Just to be clear, I'm not talking about one-on-ones. I'm talking about how you go from the podium to talking to the group of 25 people to now off to the side with seven or eight people. What is the point of this?
Jim Louth, who I will dispute what you just said, that's why the Patriots does works. Yeah, it works in that it works that everyone gets the exact same stuff. No one gets anything. Doing your own work is not rewarded. And it defeats the purpose of going down there. You may as well just stay home and listen to the radio or watch TV. There's no sense in going down there.
Guys don't play favorites with certain reporters, and it's
and no one learns anything. It's the Pentagon. It's what's her name? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Of course, no one learns anything. We all get the same information.
It's pointless.
Transparent.
The team, it's perfect.
Of course, it's managing the news. Like the Pentagon, that's what they do. That's the whole point of managing the news.
So your explanation makes sense. It's just there's two things at play that kind of still bug me about it. Number one, it doesn't really work with today's media as well. I'm not going to ask anything up front here. When everybody's watching, it's in the press conference going, it's on the TV and it's on the radio. Instead, I'm going to wait for my one-on-one and I'm going to put it in my column later today or in the paper tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work as well with everything happens right now. You know, we're going to check it on Twitter. We're going to listen to it on the radio. That's how people like their information disseminated a little more immediately. As long as it's just information, it doesn't require a ton of analysis. That's number one. But number two, it also speaks to this, and we're guilty of this too, Beetle. And in radio, TV, it's not just beat reporters. We place more importance on the ownership of the material than anyone else does. The general audience
doesn't...
Yeah, I got
this first, the whole thing. Nobody knows that.
Nobody outside of us cares.
Well, let's put it this way. When I'm working on the David Price story on the West Coast trip last year, what happened on that airplane? Who said what to who? What went down there? I'm going to go talk to John Farrell about it. I'm not going to ask in his post-game thing, hey, you know, I heard that players were applauding when Price made that demonstration toward Eckersley. Were players applauding, John, or why didn't you do anything? I'm going to go up to him on a couch by himself and talk about it one-on-one so that I'm the only one that has that. Now, I understand what you're saying. Oh, we broke the J.D. Martinez signing 30 seconds before the other outlet did. Yeah, nobody knows that. I understand that. But when you're trying to work on something that no one else knows and that you can have to yourself, you absolutely do that. That's good reporting.
And that particular story, that works for that because it was kind of, you know, we're getting trickled out information, what really happened. And it takes some time to try and get a guy comfortable to where he can talk about it. But yesterday... With J.D. Martinez, what's going on with the contract and the foot?
Yeah,
it's all going to be the same answer to everybody. Just somebody ask it so we can move on and we don't have to wait, you know, even if it's another 20 minutes or an hour or until tomorrow morning to find out what happened.
Fair enough.
That would have been nice.
That's all.
That's your pet peeve, Beetle.
That's all.
Okay.
Never understood that. Like, if seven or eight guys are going to get it right after the fact, why don't we just do it all
right
now?
Well, do you understand it now?
Well, no, I understand what Dan's talking about, though. I understand, you know, when you do want to get someone one-on-one to the side, that makes complete sense.
How does it work in Foxborough with the cartel?
Oh, it doesn't. There's nothing like that. The only thing you get is at the podium or it's leaked out because you're one of the chosen, you know, people. You've made a, you know, a handshake agreement.
Yeah, everybody gets the same thing, which is nothing.
Yes.
All get the same.
No, totally true. There are some people that get things because they've, you know, sold their soul.
You have your exclusives with John Kraft on game days, you know.
Fewer and fewer of those.
Yeah.
Did you have the same number last season as you did the season before?
No, they had four last year.
Was it the same number?
I counted four.
It was not. Okay. We've decreased
16 to 4. It was quartered. It was drawn and quartered.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us in studio. We got 90 seconds of headlines. We're right back with the noontime hour.